Mark chapter 7. I want to start reading in verse 31. Mark chapter 7. And we're going to start reading in verse 31. Here's what the word of God says. "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hands upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Would you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Father God, we come before you as the great God and sovereign over this world. These words that we have just read, they are your words. And so we worship you by honoring and listening to your word this morning. And Jesus, these words are about you. And we're so thankful for you and who you are. And I just pray, Lord, that your name would be exalted this morning. And then Holy Spirit, we know that you're in the business of exalting Jesus. I pray that you would draw men to him this morning. That these words that you inspired Mark to write, that you would use these words, that you would be our teacher and our guide, that these words would be your words this morning. And we pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel of Mark has two clear parts to it. In the first eight chapters of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus declares himself. He makes these two claims about himself, and they're very clear. Jesus claims to be both God and Messiah. And Jesus was not just a man of words, he was also a man of powerful action. And so if you read the first eight chapters of the Gospel of Mark, you see Jesus declaring himself to be God and to be the Messiah, but then he demonstrates that those claims are true through the powerful miracles that he performs. And then in the latter half of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus begins the process of preparing himself and preparing his disciples for his journey to the cross, where Jesus Christ would then hang on the cross, taking the punishment for sin upon himself. And so there are these two clear parts to the Gospel of Mark. And the text that we just read, the text that we're going to be considering this morning, sits right there on the seam of those two parts of the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to be preaching from the Gospel of Mark all week. But I wanted to start right here in the middle because I believe that the themes that are being talked about here in this miracle that we just read, right here in the middle of the Gospel of Mark, are really things that hold the whole gospel together. This miracle that we read is only recorded here in the Gospel of Mark. It's not recorded in Luke. It's not recorded in Matthew. It's just found right here in the Gospel of Mark, and I think it's strategically placed right where it is to expose the themes and the purposes that God is trying to communicate through the Gospel of Mark. And so as we come to this text, we're going to see what God is accomplishing through this. And I want us to start just by understanding the setting where this miracle occurs. Look there with me in Mark chapter 7 and verse 31. Here's what the verse says, verse 31, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of," and I want you to pay attention to that last word in verse 31. This miracle is going to take place in a place called, do you see that last word? In a place called Decapolis. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to you, but that's a big deal. If you know anything about the Greek language, you might have recognized something in that title of the place where this miracle takes place. This miracle is taking place in a place that is called Decapolis. That is a Greek name. It's a Greek place. Deca is the Greek word for 10, and polis is the Greek word for city. And so Jesus is in a region that's described as the 10 cities. But here's the point of this. Jesus, in the early part of the Gospel of Mark, has come and he is preaching to the nation of Israel. And he's presenting himself to the nation of Israel. And as he goes forward with his message of being both God and Messiah, and as he performs these spectacular miracles, Jesus' ministry looks like it is spectacularly successful. You can read in the early chapters of the Gospel of Mark about the huge crowds that have gathered around Jesus. In fact, we read at the end of the first chapter of Mark that the crowds were so large that the cities couldn't even contain the crowds. And so it looks like Jesus' ministry is just spectacularly successful, that Israel is embracing him. But as you read through those seven chapters, you find out very quickly that these large crowds that are following Jesus around are primarily following him because they want to see the miracles. And they're not really listening to the things that Jesus is saying. They're not really taking in his message. Their hearts are hard. Their hearts are cold to the message. And so by the time we get to chapter 7 here, Jesus has actually left the region of Israel and he has gone outside the boundaries of Israel to take his message to other people who are outside of Israel. And my friends, that is good news. There is good news embedded right there in that word Decapolis, that this story happens in a Greek area rather than in the nation of Israel. That's good news. That's good news for this guy right up here. Because when I was 7 years old, my dad was a pastor of a church in Bernalillo, New Mexico. And when I was 7 years old in Bernalillo, New Mexico, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've got news for you. Bernalillo, New Mexico is not within the boundaries of Israel. That's not a Jewish name. And so this guy up here is excited that the message of Jesus Christ was never intended to be constrained within the geographic boundaries of Israel. And when the people of Israel are hard in their hearts towards Jesus' message, please understand this. The message of Jesus Christ is not hindered by hard hearts. The gospel of Jesus Christ flows to hearts that are ready to receive. And that's good news for everyone in this room who was saved somewhere other than the nation of Israel. Is there anyone in this room that came to faith in Christ in some place called not Israel? If you are, raise your hand if you were saved somewhere not Israel. I'm so amazed that God took notice of a little bratty redhead running around Bernalillo, New Mexico. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that this message went to Decapolis. That's not a Hebrew name. In fact, let's do something this morning, all right? On the count of three, I want you to shout out the name of the city that you were in when you came to faith in Jesus, okay? Can you do that with me? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Bernalillo. I was listening for Hebrew. Anybody? Anybody have a Hebrew name? Was there anyone saved in Israel? That would be fun. By the way, you can get saved in Israel. Praise God. But are you glad with me this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ went beyond the boundaries of Israel and it found you? I figured out yesterday, Guam's in the middle of nowhere. That is a long flight. And I'm glad that the gospel of Jesus Christ found Guam. Praise God. The gospel's right there. The gospel's going to go to the hungry heart. And it finds this man. Not in Israel, it finds this man in Decapolis, a Greek city. And we can praise God for that. That's the setting. Jesus is in Decapolis. In fact, I think that Jesus spent about 6 months of his ministry outside of Israel. So it should be no surprise that the gospel was intended for the uttermost parts of the earth. But then I want you to see what's going on here in this scene. We see the setting, but I want us now to see the spectacle that occurs. Jesus shows up in Decapolis, but Jesus and the message of Jesus, news about Jesus, had gotten to Decapolis before Jesus got there. When Jesus shows up in Decapolis, the people there had already heard about him. And it's really no mystery how they had heard. If you go back just a couple chapters to chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, you find out that there was a man that Jesus had healed, a man who had been possessed with demons. He was infamous in this entire region because he was a crazy guy that lived on the hills near the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus showed up and healed that man. And at the end of that story, we're told that that man went into the region of Decapolis and told everybody about what Jesus had done for him. And so news of Jesus had reached Decapolis. So when Jesus gets there, the people that are in Decapolis want to see the things that Jesus has been doing. They've heard about these spectacular miracles, and they want to see some of that stuff for themselves. And so we see in verse 32 that this crowd that's in Decapolis looks around, and they try and find someone that Jesus can heal so that they can see a miracle, and they find this man who has a double handicap. He was probably someone that they all knew about, someone who begged there in the region of Decapolis. This man is described here in verse 32 as one that was deaf, his ears did not work, and one who had an impediment in his speech, his lips did not work. He had a double handicap. Well, if you want to see a miracle, look, let's go get the guy who's both deaf and mute. And let's bring him to Jesus. So this is what the crowd does. They find this man with this double handicap, and they drag him through the streets and bring him to Jesus. And they say, okay, Jesus, lay hands on him. Let's see if you can do what we've heard you can do. I don't think this crowd was motivated by compassion for this man. They wanted to show. They wanted the spectacle. They were selling tickets to the miracle in Decapolis. And so this crowd gathers around Jesus, and the crowd's purpose was just to see these spectacular miracles that they had heard about. But Jesus had a different purpose in what he was about to do. My friends, there is a significance to the fact that this man was both deaf and mute. His ears didn't work, and his lips didn't work. It's no mistake that this miracle is placed right here in the center of the Gospel of Mark. Because if you pay attention to the Gospel of Mark, by the time you get to chapter 7, you find out that this man is not the only person who has a problem with his hearing. I want to show this to you because this is really important for us to see how this man's double handicap here in this scene is actually being used to illustrate something. I want you to go back with me right now. Go back to Mark chapter 4. I want to show you something. I want to show you that this man is not the only person with a hearing problem. In the first half of the Gospel of Mark, the longest sort of chunk of teaching that we have recorded for us is the parable that is right here in Mark chapter 4, a famous parable. I think it kind of anchors this first part of the Gospel of Mark. This is the famous parable of the soils. There's a man who goes out to sow, and he sows his seed on four different types of soils. That sower is Jesus Christ, the seed is the Word of God, and the soils are the human heart. And some of that seed lands on the road, where the birds come and take it away. Some of that seed falls into the rocky soil where there's no depth of root. Some of that seed falls into the weeds where the cares and the concerns of the world choke it out. But only some of that seed finds ready hearts, hearts that are ready to receive. And this is illustrating the response to Jesus. Jesus is speaking. His words, though, are not penetrating into the hearts of everyone who is listening to him. And I want to walk you through this. Listen to what Jesus' concern is in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. What's the first word there? Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. Hearken. Listen. Pay attention. Hearken. Go down to verse 9. You guys with me? Mark chapter 4, verse 9. He that hath ears to what? Hear. Let him hear. Jesus is concerned about these people's ears. Hearken. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Go down to verse 12. He says this, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Go down to verse 24. Actually, verse 23 and verse 24. In verse 23, he says again, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And then he says this in verse 24. Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. I want you to see that Jesus is very concerned about these people's ears and whether their ears are working. Well, listen to me this morning. Not everyone who has ears can hear. And parents, if you can give me an amen on that one, right? If you have kids, you know that those ears aren't always working. Have you ever wondered, are these receptacles on the side of your head, are they working? If you're a teacher, we got some teachers in the house, teachers, have you ever wondered whether these ears are working? Any woman married to a man? You've wondered, right? It's not our fault. We're men. They don't always work, right? But here's what I want you to understand and see. This man has a physical handicap, right? But the crowds that are around Jesus, they have a handicap too. It's just a spiritual handicap. My friends, not everyone with ears to hear hears the truth. There are crowds that can hardly be numbered around Jesus, but only some of them have ears to hear. And my friends, it matters that you have ears to hear the Word of God. It matters that you have ears to hear Jesus. I mean, here Jesus is. He's come down into this world. He is the eternal God. He's taken upon himself flesh. The creator of the universe is right here in front of these people. Man, should you tune in to the creator of the universe and the things that he is saying? And yet, my friends, not everyone with ears to hear hears the truth. I know this is true. Two kids in the same family can come to this same church, hear the same messages, and one of them has ears to hear and the other doesn't. And my friends, you've got to recognize that we all have a spiritual handicap of our ears not being tuned in to God. In fact, this is the state that we come into this world in. When you were born into this world, you were born a sinner. All of us are sinners. All of us fall short of the glory of God. And so we come into this world, we do not have an inclination to listen to the voice of our Creator. In fact, we're in rebellion against Him. That's not the way God wanted it to be. That's not the way He designed it. In fact, when you go back to the Garden of Eden before sin intruded and interfered, they could hear their God. They walked with him, Adam and Eve. They talked with him. Their voice was tuned into God. But one of the effects of sin is that we do not have ears to hear the truth. And I want you to see this. Jesus is pleading with his audiences. Have ears to hear the truth. Listen up. Pay attention. Hearken to my voice. It's all there in chapter 4, but in chapter 7, the same chapter we're in, you can hear it, you can see it again. Chapter 7 and verse 14. He says this, hearken, listen up. And then he pleads again in verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. My friends, are you with me this morning? That man wasn't the only person with a hearing problem. His spiritual handicap of being deaf is being used in the Gospel of Mark as an illustration of the spiritual disability that you and I have as sinners. But it matters at some point in our life, we have to have ears to hear the truth of God. And by the power of the Spirit and through the Word of God, we can listen to Jesus Christ and hear His voice. So the man was deaf, but he had another handicap as well, another malady. He had an impediment in his speech. His lips didn't work. Not everyone with lips to speak speaks the truth. And you can trace this through the Gospel of Mark as well, that this man isn't the only person with a problem with his lips. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed this ever. If you've studied the Gospel of Mark, you may have noticed this. And it always kind of bothered me when I was a kid. Because in the Gospel of Mark, there are a number of times when Jesus will heal someone. I don't know if you've noticed this, but he'll heal someone. And after he heals them, he'll tell them, hey, please don't tell anyone about this. Have you noticed that? In fact, it's right here in this miracle right here, right? He heals the guy, and then he says, please don't tell anyone. And it's almost comical, right? The more that he charged them not to tell anyone, the more widely they published it. And it used to bother me. Aren't we supposed to tell people about what Jesus has done in our lives? Seems like that's the right answer. But here's the problem. These crowds are clamoring around Jesus, and they're not there to hear Jesus. They're there to see the spectacle, to see the miracles. They want the show. And so the more that messages go out about Jesus doing miracles, the more the crowd comes and the less they actually are tuned in. And so throughout the book, he tells people, after he heals them, please don't tell anyone about this. That's because people would leave those miracles and they would not say what should have been said about Jesus. In fact, just turn one chapter. Would you turn one chapter? And we're going to see that there's a problem with what people's lips are saying about Jesus. Mark chapter 8. Jesus gets his disciples together. He sits them down. He quizzes them about what people are saying about him. This is in chapter 8 and verse 27. Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, are you with me right there? Verse 27, chapter 8. Whom do men, what's the next word? Whom do men say? You guys with me? Who do men say that I am? What are people saying with their lips about who I am? Jesus was the talk of the entire region. Everyone had heard about Jesus. Everyone had a theory about Jesus. There were lots of lips talking about Jesus. And so here are some of the common theories at the time that this story happens about who Jesus was. They answered him, verse 28. Some people say, you're John the Baptist. Friends, can I ask you a question? Is Jesus John the Baptist? That's not true. The people walking away around saying Jesus is John the Baptist, their lips were lying. It's not true. What if John the Baptist were here right now? What would John the Baptist say? John the Baptist would say, I cannot touch Jesus' sandal. Jesus is not John the Baptist. John the Baptist is no Jesus. Well, there's some other theories. Other people are saying, you're Elijah. Elijah is one of the great prophets. This is not a put down to Elijah. Elijah is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. But my friends, Elijah is no Jesus. Jesus is not just another good prophet. Jesus is not just another good teacher. And in the last 2,000 years, things haven't changed much. Just like back then, people had a lot of things and a lot of opinions about who Jesus was. The same thing is true today. You can almost go to anybody and ask them, what's your opinion about who Jesus is? And they'll say something. Almost everyone has a theory and an opinion about who Jesus is. But my friends, I want you to hear me this morning. Not everyone with lips to speak speaks the truth about who Jesus is. There are whole religions that are founded and centered around lies about who Jesus is. You can talk to a Muslim and he'll tell you that Jesus was just another of the prophets of Islam. My friends, that's not true. Those lips are lying. You can talk to a Jehovah's Witness and ask him who Jesus is, and he'll tell you that Jesus was the first created being, that he's Michael the Archangel. My friends, Jesus is not Michael the Archangel. Those lips are lying to you about who he is. There are lots of opinions about who Jesus is. You cannot afford to listen to lying lips about who Jesus is. There's only one person's lips who have never lied. That is God himself. My friends, I hold the word of God in my hands right now. This is the word of God. Would you listen this morning to lips that have never lied? Here's the truth. Jesus Christ is God himself.
He came into this world and he took upon humanity. He lived a sinless and perfect life, not once ever sinning in thought, action, or deed. He went to the cross and he died on the cross to atone for your sins and for mine. That's who Jesus is. He was buried and then 3 days later, he came out of the grave. He is ascended to the right hand of God the Father right now. And my friends, someday he is coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is who Jesus is. That what I have just shared with you is the Word of God. Lips that have never lied. And at some point in your life, you're going to have ears that hear the truth of who Jesus is. There is no salvation under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Jesus is your only hope of salvation this morning. That's who Jesus is. Don't listen to lying lips. You see, this man wasn't the only person with a problem with his lips. There are lots of people saying lots of things about Jesus that just weren't true. Their lips didn't work. And so when we come to this miracle, here's what I want you to see with me this morning, is that this miracle is placed right here in the Gospel of Mark because this man's double physical handicap is actually being used by Jesus to illustrate the spiritual problem that we all have. We don't have ears to hear the truth that Jesus is the only one who can save us. But it matters that you at some point in your life hear that message, that you tune in, that you have ears to hear the truth. I believe I can say this, that if Jesus Christ were standing here himself today, he would say this to you, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This man's ears don't work. His mouth doesn't work. And so they bring him to Jesus for a show. But let's take a look at what our Savior does. I want you to see this. Would you look with me in verse 33? What does Jesus do? Is Jesus going to make a show out of this man? Look at verse 33 there, Mark chapter 7, verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude. I want you to see the compassion there of Jesus. Jesus is not going to make a show, a spectacle out of this man. He somehow gets away from the crowd. Maybe he finds a shack or a small building or a small house, and he hustles the man into that small room and gets away from the crowd, gets by himself. And then you really got to pay attention to this. Look at the rest of verse 33, okay? You guys with me this morning? Let's look at the rest of this. He gets this man with the double handicap away from the crowd, and he put his fingers in his ears. And then he spit and touched his tongue. And somewhere in there, Dr. Fauci passed out. Like, that is not social distancing right there. And what? He poked his fingers in his ears, and then he spit on his hand and touched the guy's tongue. Right? I have thought long and hard about the proper theological term to describe the way that Jesus healed this man, and I came up with it, okay? This is why I get paid the big bucks at a Bible college, okay? Came up with it. Here's the theological term, guys. This was weird. This was weird, right? If you were watching Jesus heal this guy, it would have weirded you out, right? In fact, the crowd had actually suggested to Jesus how he should heal the guy. Did you see it when we read through? What does the crowd say to Jesus? The crowd suggests to Jesus how he should heal the guy. Did you see it there? Verse 32. They throw the guy with the double handicap down at the feet of Jesus, and what do they tell Jesus to do? Why don't you put your hands on him? That'd be normal. We've heard you do that. Why don't you do that hands thing? But Jesus gets this man alone, gets him into this house. Like, can you just imagine, like, Peter? I'm sure Peter was peeking, don't you think? Someone was peeking, because we got it here, right? Someone was peeking. Can you imagine Peter like peeking through a crack in the door? And John's like, okay, what's he doing, Peter? Well, he just poked the guy in the ears. Jesus can be weird sometimes. And then, ew. He just spit on his hand and touched the guy's tongue. Yeah, that's weird. It would have weirded the crowd out. Would have weirded you out. Would have weirded me out. But it wasn't weird to two people. My friends, it wasn't weird to Jesus. Jesus had a purpose for what he was doing there. But my friends, there's someone else that it wasn't weird to. I want you guys to help me out this morning. I want you to think about this story that we just read from the perspective of the man with the double handicap. What was this man's day like? What was this man's life like? Someone born in the first century with a double handicap? What words would you describe to describe this man's life? He was reduced probably to a life of begging. In that day and age, someone who had a double handicap like this was often thought of as being demon-possessed or cursed by the gods. They were social outcasts. There was no social security safety net. There was no one funding his education. He would have been living on the streets, deaf and mute. And this day starts with him just going to his normal place where he would beg, hoping that someone would show him some compassion and mercy. And as he's sitting there begging alongside the street this day, all of a sudden a crowd comes to him. Can you imagine what would be going on in this man's heart and mind as a crowd comes around him and swarms around him, and all of a sudden he's being picked up and dragged through the streets? What words would you use to describe what was going on in this man's heart? Dragged through the streets? What's going on? What's happening to me? Is this vigilante? Am I being lynched? Have I been accused of some crime? What's going on? And the crowd gathers and gets larger and larger, and then he's just thrown at the feet of Jesus. And the crowd has heard about Jesus, but what has this man heard about Jesus? Nothing. He's deaf. And then this person who he knows nothing about picks him up and pulls him away from the crowd. And then, my friends, Jesus grabbed that man's head in his hands. Are you guys with me? He put that man's head in his hands and touched him. Touched him in his ears. And then touched his tongue. My friends, when that man got in that room with Jesus, he didn't know who Jesus was. But when Jesus touched his ears and then touched his mouth, he knew that Jesus knew who he was. It would have weirded you out, but it didn't weird the man out. Those touches were of comfort. This man knows who I am. He just touched me in my ears. He just touched me in my mouth. He just touched me in the places where I'm broken. My friends, this morning, if you knew where Pastor Nathan was broken, it would weird you out. If you got up here and told us where you're broken, it would weird us out. And I don't know if you come into this building this morning knowing who Jesus is, but I've got news for you. You might not know who he is, but he knows who you are. And he better than you knows where you're broken. He knows where you need to be touched. And by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, he is active right now. If you'll have ears to hear the truth that has never lied, the lips that have never lied, if you'll listen today to the Spirit, if you'll listen to God, he will touch you where you are broken. My friends, we're all broken. We're all in a destitute position. We all need to be spiritually healed. And it could be right now as you're sitting here that you are hearing this message. And by the power of God, God is poking you right in the ears. He's touching your tongue. He's poking you right where you are broken. You come into this room, I don't know what your sin struggle is. It would weird me out. Mine would wear you out. It doesn't wear Jesus out. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you where you're broken. And the minute those fingers went into that man's ears and those fingers touched that man's tongue, he knew that Jesus knew who he was. Then we're almost finished. I want you to see how this miracle ends. Jesus touches his ears, touches his tongue, and then he, look with me right here in verse 34. He looked up and he, do you see that? And he sighed. Now, sighs can mean different things. When I get done working outside in the Arizona heat where I'm from, and I come back to my lazy boy and get a tall glass of lemonade, I sigh the sigh of relief. But my friends, that's not always what a sigh means. I also sigh when I walk by my kids' bedrooms. Are they people or are they animals? That's the sigh of exasperation. And when we study the Greek word that's translated here, sighed, here in this verse, we don't have to wonder. It's translated other places with the word groan. In fact, it's the word that's used to describe Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried out with loud groanings. I want you to see this scene and understand what Jesus is doing. He holds the man's head in his hands. He lifts up his eyes to heaven and he just groans. Why is he groaning? Because there's a crowd outside the door that doesn't listen to the voice of their Creator. There's a man inside the room whose ears and mouth are broken. And in this moan that he gives to the Father, I think this is what Jesus is communicating. Father, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Your creatures are not supposed to be deaf to your words. This man's ears and mouth are not supposed to be broken. This isn't the way God made this world to be. God made this world to be a place where we would enjoy him, have a relationship with him, where we would tune into him. That's the world God has designed. It's been ruined by sin. But after Jesus moans to the Father, he then speaks to the man and says, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straight away, that man who had never heard before had his ears opened. And it says right here that the chains that were on his tongue were loosed and this man spoke plainly. Because Jesus has done all things well, he maketh the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You know who our Jesus is? He's the one whose touch can make this world back to what it ought to be. And he's the only one who can do that. That's who Jesus is. Do you have ears to hear that truth? Would you bow in prayer? Do you have ears to hear that truth? I don't know if you know Jesus, but I do know that Jesus knows you. And if you'll have ears to hear the truth by the power of the Spirit, he can speak to you right now. It may be that someone listening to me right now needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You came in here not knowing him, but as I preached, you could feel the Spirit poking you and you need to receive that message. Jesus is your Savior. He died on the cross for you. And if you will simply trust him, he will save you. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor Nathan, I need to hear that message. I want to have ears to hear the truth that Jesus is my Savior. I want to receive that message. Would you raise your hand if God's talking to you that way? You right now can pray and trust Jesus as your Savior. You can just say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe in you that you came into this world. You're God. You came into this world to save me. And you can just place your faith and trust in him. If you pray that prayer, we'd love to talk with you at the end of this service, so that we can know that you understand the gospel, that you can have your sins forgiven. Have ears to hear the truth. But can I say this to everyone in this room that knows Jesus? If you have heard that truth needs to be on your lips. This is the heart of missions. The heart of missions are just people who have had ears to hear the truth of who Jesus is and who share that truth with other people, whose lips work in telling the truth about who Jesus is. And that's the call of missions. That's the call of this missions conference, is that those of us that have had ears to hear would speak that truth to others who need to hear it. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for touching this man and showing us the truth that you are the only one who can save us from our spiritual malady. We need you to touch us. We need to hear you, and then we need to share you with others. I pray you'd help us do that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.